With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
With food insecurity still affecting millions worldwide, USDA's Economic Research Service projects conditions will improve significantly over the next decade. In 2025, about 604 million people across 83 low- and middle-income countries are food insecure, down nearly 27% year over year. The improvement tied to stronger per capita GDP growth, up 3.7%, and easing food price inflation. Now, by 2035, food insecurity projected to fall to 6.5% of the population. That's roughly 333 million people. Gains expected in Asia and the former Soviet Union, driven by rising incomes and lower commodity prices. But sub-Saharan Africa remains the most vulnerable, with nearly 263 million people still projected to lack consistent access to food. USDA economists, though, caution that demand for grains will rise faster than production. Grain demand expected to grow 2.2% annually through 2035. Threat of the New World screwworm continues to draw closer to the Texas border, raising concern among cattle producers and federal officials. Now, last week, case confirmed in Nuevo León, only 70 miles from Texas and about 370 miles closer than the northernmost detection reported back in July. And USDA previously estimating an outbreak could cost Texas producers more than $732 million and the state economy nearly $1.8 billion, with losses tied to livestock deaths, reduced production, treatment cost, changes to routine practices like dehorning or branding. Now, to address the risk, USDA outlined a five-part plan, including prevention efforts in Mexico, enhanced border protections, outbreak preparedness, and major investments in a sterile insect dispersal facility. Soaring demand for butter, cheese, and yogurt pushing butterfat levels in the U.S. higher at twice the pace of protein growth creates a new hurdle for the nation's cheesemakers. New report from CoBank warns that the imbalance is complicating production for cheddar and other American-style cheeses, where a stable protein-to-fat ratio is essential for quality and yield. Now, from 2000 through 2017, protein-to-fat ratio in U.S. milk held steady between 0.82 and 0.84. But today it slipped to 0.77, leaves cheesemakers with excess butterfat and insufficient protein. By contrast, milk supplies in the European Union and New Zealand maintaining steadier ratios, helping keep their cheese output more consistent. Industry experts say U.S. processors may need to standardize milk by adding protein concentrates or skimming butterfat. Longer term, price signals and breeding strategies could encourage a more balanced milk supply, but without adjustments, American cheese production could face rising cost and quality concerns across global competitors. And this is Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers. This is Agriculture Today.
Number one, prioritizing farmers by delivering relief.
Speaking recently at the Ag Outlook Forum in Kansas City, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins on addressing the situation in ag.
8 weeks into my tenure as secretary, we rolled out the Emergency Commodity Assistance Program, the ECAP, which is helping farmers recover from the economic hardships of 2024. In addition, $16 billion via the Supplemental Disaster Relief Program, the SDRP, is helping producers recover from severe weather events in 2023 and 2024. Together since March, these programs have distributed $13.5 billion into the American countryside, including more than $5.5 billion to over 344,000 farmers through the SDRP and more than $8 billion to over 560,000 farmers through the ECAP across the country. We streamlined that initial process to issue payments within days of the application opening. And today I'm excited to announce that the remaining $2 billion of ECAP funding will be delivered within the week. As producers continue to face market volatility, the ECAP program has helped them navigate the economic challenges that you faced in 2024, hopefully making it slightly easier to secure financing for the next crop year. Another massive source of relief for our farmers came this summer when President Trump signed the One Big Beautiful Bill into law. As I was traveling the country in the spring, one of the key concerns I heard from so many voices was that the farm bill and reference prices had not been updated in more than a decade. So I, along with some of your greatest advocates in Washington, began to make the case that as the president was building out his One Big Beautiful Bill and as he was looking to secure the border and cut taxes and open up the markets and realign trade around the world through that bill, that we couldn't leave the farmers out, that we had to put significant amount of what would normally have been in a farm bill into the One Big Beautiful Bill. And that's what we did. Whether it was reference prices again, an increase for the first time in over a decade, 100% expensing, 45Z extension, crop insurance improvements, enhancing coverage and lowering premiums, making the death tax exempt for about 2 million of our family farms, and new producers receiving premium assistance during the first 10 years of their business, up from the original 5 years. There were many other things on the ag side of the One Big Beautiful Bill, but I think it's important to note that this work toward fixing this economy began even back as we were writing that big bill.
In addition to high inputs, revitalizing rural America, and strengthening domestic biofuels, number five,
working to secure and protect U.S. farmland for U.S. farmers, because farm security is national security. You all have probably been tracking, but we are very, very focused on foreign adversaries moving into our country and whatever that may look like, multiple ways. For too long, the federal government has looked the other way as foreign entities and developers have purchased our prime farmland. USDA is working across the Trump administration to take aggressive action to address the U.S. Owned farmland by foreign adversaries and foreign ownership head on. The last administration incentivized the development of prime farmland through the green energy tax credits and the construction of solar panels on our prime farmland, most of those solar panels being made in China, with big foreign developers reaping the benefits, again, at the expense of the American farmer. USDA will no longer incentivize the development of farmland for green energy, nor will we use taxpayer funds to purchase these solar panels from our foreign adversaries.
It's Agriculture Today.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Today I'd like to visit with our dairy farmers about a topic that has been coming up in our nutrition circles as we look at the impact of the nutrition programs that we have for our gestating cows, how that impacts our offspring or the heifers that are being born into our herds.
That's Kansas State Dairy Specialist Dr. Mike Brook.
As we think about the heifers that we have on our farm and those calves that are coming into our herds, we got to be concerned about what the future looks like for those animals and how they're going to impact our dairy herd as well as the profitability of our farms. So for many, many decades now, we've recognized the importance of genetics in this process, and we've got these excellent genetic selection programs now that we utilize to, you know, just program in the right genetics into our herd and to try to fine-tune that. But today I want to encourage you that it's more than just the genetics. You know, if the animals are actually going to be able to express their genetic potential, then they need to have the right nutrition programs in place as well. One of the things over the last decade or so that we've become increasingly interested in and aware of is the importance of the nutrition of the dam and how that impacts the growth of the offspring. You know, for many years we've recognized that protein nutrition and energy nutrition, actually the excesses or not having enough of either of those nutrients in the diet, would have a negative impact on the offspring. However, as we've moved forward in the last 10 years, there's probably some things that we need to continue to fine-tune in those rations over and above protein and energy, although those tend to still be very important to our nutrition program of these dams that are carrying these very expensive calves today. So what are some other things that you might need to consider? Well, number one, the reason you need to consider these things is we do have good research now that shows that how we feed the dam will impact the future production of that calf that she is carrying. So whether we look at how that impacts future milk production, how it impacts marbling or carcass traits of that animals, they're all impacted. So some of the things that you might want to visit with your nutritionist about as you think about the nutrition of those dams that are in your herd, you might want to talk about things like rumen-protected methionine and lysine. Are we doing that? Is it something that we need to do? Because we know that there are some very positive effects on the growth of the offspring when we do supplement our animals with these things. Some other things that are coming to light is the importance of omega-3 fatty acid supplements and how that impacts the growth and production of the offspring that that animal is going to have. So as we think about the genetic potential of those young calves, we really need to be concerned that we're feeding the dam in a way that will allow that calf to grow and contain the genetic material and the ability to express that genetic material in terms of milk production and growth potential after the animal is born. So the importance of the nutrition of the dam becomes more of a focus for us on our dairy.
That's Kansas State Dairy Specialist Dr. Mike Brook. It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Farmers, particularly those raising grain crops, are struggling economically due to a number of key challenges. Sam Kiefer, Vice President of Public Policy for the American Farm Bureau Federation, says this is a rare intersection of high expenses and low income.
It's a combination of nearly record low crop prices and ever-increasing input costs or production expenses. We've lost more than 160,000 farms since the 2017 Census of Agriculture. There's a lot of difficult conversations happening around those farm tables.
He said farmers also have to deal with uncertainty in areas like trade, labor, and the farm safety net. Kiefer said the difference between input costs and crop prices is causing the biggest challenge.
Farm production expenses have increased steadily every year since 2018, the last time a full farm bill was passed. And farm expense estimates right now are far surpassing the income for the farmers who raise major crops.
Kiefer cautions that looking at USDA's farm income forecast, which predicted farm income to increase, doesn't paint an accurate picture of the farm economy.
But that number does not tell the whole story. Almost one quarter of all the farm income projected in that report is coming from disaster assistance, whether it be natural disaster assistance or economic assistance that Congress approved. And they're not dealing with the current economic calamity that's happening out there.
The federal milk marketing orders govern how processors purchase milk from dairy farmers in defined marketing areas around the U.S. Danny Munch, an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, provides a refresher on how those marketing orders were updated.
There was a long hearing process back in 2023 and 2024 in Indiana where dairy stakeholders submitted testimony to USDA on ways to modernize the federal order system. A lot of folks believed it was outdated, including dairy farmers, cooperatives, and processors. And on June 1st of this year, all but one of the final approved changes went into effect.
Munch says the result of that hearing process was a slate of changes intended to modernize federal milk marketing orders.
The five major changes were increases in make allowances, which represent the portion of the milk formulas that account for processors' costs to convert fluid milk, a switch back to the higher of fluid milk formula, removal of barrel cheese from the protein price survey, increases to fluid milk differentials to reflect modern transportation costs, and increases to composition factors, which reflect how much protein and other solids are in milk.
Munch said that overall, the impact on farmers has been a mixed bag with one major negative change.
Dairy farmers were most concerned about the impact of increased make allowances because they reduced the price farmers receive and were based off of incomplete data during the hearing process. And so far in the first 3 months of implementation, dairy farmers have lost $337 million in pool revenues just from that change. The other changes have been either more neutral or beneficial to farmers.
Learn more on the Market Intel page at FB.org. Chad Smith, Washington.
Thanks, Chad. USDA's August cold storage report showing shifting stock levels across major dairy, meat, and poultry products. Natural cheese supplies in refrigerated warehouses ended the month 1% lower than July, but 2% higher than a year earlier. Butter stocks continued to tighten, down 8% month-to-month, 6% year-over-year, reflecting strong domestic demand. Red meat inventories also reduced, total freezer stocks declining 2% from July, 7% from last year. Beef supplies edging 1% lower from the previous month, but still 2% above last year. Frozen pork down 3% from July, 13% year over year. It's Agriculture Today.
At Wiley Implement and Spray Center, we are here to keep your Case IH tractors, planters, sprayers, and other implements in tip-top shape this season. Whether you need in-shop or in-field service, Wiley has the factory-trained technicians to keep your equipment running with genuine Case IH parts. Give us a call today or go to WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
In today's tough farm economy, you need to make every dollar count. When choosing your cotton, consider West Texas varieties from Brownfield Seed and Delining. At only $125 a bag, these West Texas varieties are large seeded varieties that shoot out of the ground and have the yield potential that will have you smiling all the way to the gin. Think outside the box and boost your bottom line with cotton seed from Brownfield Seed and Delining. Call 806-637-6282 or visit brownfieldseed.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
Working to drive down farmer input costs.
At a recent Ag Outlook Forum in Kansas City, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins.
As I was traveling around the country, I heard a lot about fertilizer, seed, labor, interest rates, tractors, how it had all gone sky high, especially in the last 4 years. U.S. farm production inputs all cost so much more today than they did under the last Trump administration. Seed costs up 18%. Fuel and oil up 32%, electricity costs up 36%, labor costs up 47%, the cost of vehicles and machineries up 45%, interest expenses up by 73%, and fertilizer costs increased 37%. Well, it's no wonder when you look at that and then you realize there were no new trade deals that our economy is in a massive challenge right now. I am incredibly concerned about undue foreign influence on this last market, especially given a significant portion of our fertilizer production is overseas. To that end, USDA and the Department of Justice signed a memorandum of understanding this morning that aligns a joint commitment by both of our agencies under Attorney General Pam Bondi and myself to protect American farmers and ranchers from the burdens imposed by a high and volatile input costs such as feed, fertilizer, fuel, seed, equipment, and other essential goods while ensuring competitive supply chains, lowering consumer prices, and the resilience of U.S. agriculture and the food supply. The Antitrust Division of DOJ will work hand in hand with USDA effective immediately to take a hard look and scrutinize competitive conditions in the agricultural marketplace, including antitrust enforcement that promotes free market competition. Farmers have enough challenges to deal with. Sky-high input prices should not be one of them. Indeed, USDA and DOJ are taking bold action today and putting farmers and ranchers first. And there will be more announcements on that to come, but that work begins today. Unfortunately, these increased input costs are made worse by interest rates, which have been unbearably high for far too long. While last week's interest rate cut by the Federal Reserve has been behind the ball for months, you may or may not have heard President Trump talk about this, forcing all to borrow money at elevated interest rates. I'm not sure anyone feels this pain more than our farmers and ranchers. The Fed needs to keep lowering rates so farmers and rural communities can finally see relief. And I'll be talking about that a lot more as we move toward the next meeting of the Fed. Another major outlier is labor, another one that I continue to hear about when I'm out on the road talking to so many of you. It is estimated that U.S. farm labor expenses this year will be over $54 billion, while the growth in labor rates is slowing. So since President Trump came on board, it is getting a little bit better, but it still represents a 47% increase since 2020. This increase, as those of you know who are in this world, has been driven largely by the high cost of utilizing the H-2A program to secure seasonal labor, specifically the artificially inflated adverse effect wage rate, or the AEWR, set by the Department of Labor using USDA data. The USDA Farm Labor Survey was never designed to be used for setting government-mandated wage rates and is duplicative of DOL's other data sources. That's why USDA has discontinued this survey and will no longer it be used today or at any moment in the Trump administration to justify what is an unreasonable increase in that average wage rate.
Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
With September 1st, all hogs and pigs inventories at 74.5 million head, down 1.3% from previous year. Green hogs is at 5,934,000 head. That is a decrease of 1.8% from 2024.
Travis Averill is the chief of the National Ag Statistics Service's livestock branch with the latest hogs and pigs numbers.
Market hogs is at 68.5 million, down 1.3% from last year. In the bottom left corner, we have the top five states listed. As you can see, Iowa leads away at 25.1 million. They're down slightly from previous year. And then Minnesota, North Carolina, and Indiana are all down 4% from previous year. Illinois is number four, and they're up 1% at 5.6 million head from previous year. The bottom right-hand corner is a chart of the U.S. quarterly hogs and pigs inventory since 2016. The September inventory are presented with the orange squares, and the previous quarter for June is the green diamond there.
He looks at the breakdown by weights.
Market hogs is at 68.5 million. Less than 50 pounds is at 21.7 million head, down 2.4% from 2024. 50 to 119-pound weight group is at 19.7 million, a decrease of 2.3% from previous year. The 120 to 179-pound weight group is at 14.5 million head, up 0.4% from last year. 180 pounds and over is at 12.7 million, up 0.3% from 2024. Below the table is the quarterly distributions of weight groups since September 2022.
Also in the latest report, pigs weaned.
Pig crop weaned for June to August 2025 is at 34,078,000 head, a decrease of 2.6% from previous year. Pigs per litter weaned is at 11.82, up from the rate of last year of 11.72 and up 0.07 of a pig from previous quarter. The sow efficiency continues to improve year over year. You can see on the chart, U.S. quarterly pigs per litter from 2016 to present is illustrated there.
Averill also looks at the imports from Canada.
Canadian feeder pigs and slaughter hogs imported for the third quarter of 2025 accounted for 1.7 million head compared to 1.6 million in 2024. This is an increase of 6.1% from 2024. The Canadian quarter import values are above the respective quarter. The feeder pigs as a percentage of the imports are light blue. Of the imports from Canada, 78% are feeder pigs, or 1.3 million head, up 15.6% from prior year's total, 1.1 million. Where slaughter hogs as a percentage of the imports are illustrated with the darker blue, they accounted for 22% of the Canadian imports, or 359,000 head, down 18.2% from last year's total, 439,000.
And one of the most important numbers, break-evens.
Next, we have the U.S. prices received by farmers for hogs and corn. The chart provides the prices for the last 10 years. The hog prices are blue. The corn prices are in red. The six-month ratios have ranged from 14.18 to as high as 18.6 in July. Historically, the break-even is 15, so two out of the last 6 months have shown a better price than the other 4 months.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.